Welcome you to our Bible class and our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, a very wonderful epistle to give us the truths concerning the church. Chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity or love. Now, he told us at the close of chapter 12 that he was going to show us a more excellent way. And in chapter 13, he tells us about love, or charity, as he calls it, and ends by saying the greatest of these is charity, or love. So the more excellent way of love is what he asks Christians to follow. Now, this is impossible without the new birth and without the Holy Spirit present to enable you. This is not mere human love. There's a different word used for that in the Greek New Testament. What he's telling us here is that if God has put his love within you, then you will have the love of God and you can follow this pattern, this life. And then he asks us to desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He'd been telling us in chapter 12 that there were many sign gifts which were of a temporary nature, including healing and tongues and so on. And now he says, don't be like children any longer, as we saw in chapter 13, but that which is perfect has come. The word of God enables us to go in for the better things. The word prophecy or prophesy in chapter 14 has to do with teaching the word. And this is very plain from 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, where he uses the terms interchangeably. Now he goes on to tell us that a person who just lives for these sign gifts and all of this kind of thing is really not edifying anyone, and he may not even be honoring God. He that speaketh in a tongue, it says unknown in the King James Version, but that's in italics. It's not unknown to some people because these are languages. These are not ecstatic utterances or some kind of angelic languages, as some tell us. There's absolutely no scriptural basis for that. These are languages. But if I don't understand the language that you're speaking, then he says, no man understands him. He is not speaking to men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, to edification and exhortation and comfort. So God wants us to go in for teaching the word of God. Don't live on coffee and aspirins, spiritually speaking, when you could be enjoying the good solid food of the word of God. Don't live on emotional instability. Live on the solid teachings of Scripture. Edification means to build up. Exhortation means to stir up. And comfort means to cheer up. And the teaching of the word of God will do these three things for Christians. Now, in this first section, verses 2 to 5, he takes up this matter of what you do as being done for the purpose of helping others. And so he ends it by saying, teaching is far superior to tongues. The church will receive edifying through the teaching, but not through tongues. Now, brethren, he said, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? And that's the key to this chapter. What shall I profit you? People say, well, I like to speak in tongues because it gives me a feeling of spirituality and I enjoy it and so on. Well, this is pure childishness. What shall I profit you? How am I going to help you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, that is, what God has given to me, or by prophecy or by doctrine. This is what I can pass on to you. And then he shows that even things without life, such as musical instruments, really have no value, except there's a distinction of the sounds. You have to understand music, or you can't appreciate it. And then he says in verse 8, when a man sounds a trumpet in battle, what good will it be if it doesn't have a certain sound? It must tell you exactly what to do. So you are not benefited unless you understand the message. This is most important. So he says, likewise, you except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. That is, you are ignoring the presence of the people completely. You ignore the hearers when you speak something that they can't understand. Now, in verse 10, he tells us that there are many languages. The word voices here is the same as language. There are many languages, but they're all intelligible. If I don't understand them, and if you don't understand me, then that makes us foreigners. So the use of tongues would mar the fellowship. Our aim is to help, not to hinder. If we're going to do something in the church, we're going to do something to be useful and helpful, we should try to draw the Christians closer together, not separate them. And foreign languages separate people. That's one of the problems we have in the world today, lack of communication, not being able to understand each other. So he said, be zealous of spiritual gifts and seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. So if you really want to please God, seek to build up his people. And if you speak a language that they don't understand, then he said, pray that you may interpret. Pray that you may be able to say it to them in a way that they can understand. Now, from verses 13 to 17, he turns from the selfish pleasure in sign gifts to try to help others. And he uses this word that I've mentioned, understanding, 9 times in this section, which shows you how important this is. Now, from verses 13 to 17, he tells how important it is that we be able to pass on to somebody else the things that we have learned ourselves. If you're not studying the Word of God, you're not going to be able to help other Christians. If you take the place of trying to preach the Word, then for the sake of your hearers, give time to the study of God's Word. Don't just get up and give something superficial. He says if you bless with the Spirit, but without people being able to understand you, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? What fellowship can we have together unless we can understand each other? Now, from verses 18 to 22, Paul speaks of his own ability. He said, I thank God that I speak in more languages than any of you. And the word tongues is the word languages. But he shows in verse 19 that he was not doing it in the church. There's no point in speaking in tongues in the church because tongues are given for the unbelievers, as he plainly says a little later in this chapter. So in verse 19, he tells us, in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in another language, in an unknown language. So that's the right ratio. 5 understandable words are worth more than 10,000 words in some other tongue or some other language. And so he adds, brethren, be not children. Now, this is the same thing that he said in chapter 13, verse 11. He said, I used to be a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So he's saying to God's children, don't be childish in your interests. Don't be going in for things that seem to indicate that you have a superior spirituality of some kind. If you really want to prove your spirituality, the way to do it is to edify and help God's children. This is the way older children do in a family. The more mature a child becomes, the more he helps with the younger children. I was the oldest in the family. I know what it means. And as you grow up in spiritual things, you will be less interested in yourself and more concerned about edifying, building up, helping other Christians. While Paul had this ability, because he traveled in many countries and spoke to people in many different languages, yet he said, in the church, I am interested in saying things that people will understand. Now, when he tells them not to be children, he says, in malice you can be children, but in understanding be men. Be childlike in your simplicity and in your unwillingness to hurt anyone, not holding any malice. But when it comes to understanding, be men. In the 4th chapter of Ephesians, he tells us that we ought to grow up and be no longer children. Don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. In verse 21, he quotes from the law, and this is from Isaiah chapter 28 and 1. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and with other lips will I speak unto this people, This people is Israel. And we saw in chapter 1 that the tongues were given for the purpose of signs required by Israel. And you'll find that because at Corinth there were many Jews, you see this in Acts where he tells how the church was founded, this is the reason why tongues were given this prominence. It might interest you to know that you will find absolutely no reference to tongues after the first epistle to the Corinthians. Only in Acts and in Corinthians, only in the childhood of the church, do you have these sign gifts given and used. So this was given for this people, or the people of Israel. And he says, yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. And this, of course, was the history of that poor blinded people. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So when he went out to the unconverted, the unsaved, he used these tongues that were necessary, both to get the news to them and as a sign to them that God's word had come. But when he visited the people of God, he spoke to them in words easy to be understood, that he might be able to teach them the simple truths that would help them along in God's things. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Then grow up and go on to be a help to others.